It's kind of hard to tell until you see the fruit. When you see the fruit, then you say, yeah, that's an apple tree. I'll give you guys, I got a few more opportunities for you. What kind of tree is this? Another live tree. Gail, you're pretty good at this.
One that grows in Nebraska.
One that grows in Nebraska. It may or may not grow in Nebraska. I don't know. John, you said something. I'm not sure if it was wise, Alec, or not. Did you say, I thought it sounded wise. Okay. Fair enough. You're in the same boat as me sometimes. Well, that's an orange tree.
In Nebraska.
They're probably, perhaps for educational purposes, they're teaching. I don't know why they had it. All I did was Google. So for some of those pictures. So that was an orange tree. Hard to tell it's an orange tree without the fruit, unless you're an orange tree expert and you can probably tell by the leaves. What kind of tree is this? A what? A cherry tree. You think it's pears? Any other guesses? Another live one. Yeah, it's got green stuff. It's alive. It's a cherry tree. We got somebody at least got one right. That's pretty good. One for three, 33%. Oh, okay. You definitely didn't cheat. Yeah, I forgot that you can see ahead. That one's a cherry tree. You can tell by the slide ahead or by the cherries that it produces. Last one without cheating. What kind of tree is this? Peach. Why do you say it's a peach? Long leaves. Survey says peach tree. So you sometimes can tell by the leaves if you know these sorts of things. But it's interesting, as I was looking at all these trees we're going to talk about today, you know a tree by its fruit it produces. We know their names, but it's a peach tree, it's an apple tree, it's a cherry tree, it's an avocado tree, it's a blueberry bush, it's a this or a that. I'm sure it has some fancy Latin name that who knows what it is. But we know because this is what it does. It produces these fruit. That's the only reason why we know. That's the only reason why we care. It's a walnut tree. It's a whatever. Pecan tree. So Jesus is going to say you're going to know folks. Still Sermon on the Mount. He's talking in context, looking at the Pharisees and other folks where they're going to proclaim great godliness. But he said you'll know the true people, the true believers by their fruit, what kind of fruit they have. And the same is still true today. What did Jesus say? People will know you're my disciples if what? By the fruit they produce. The world will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. That's how people know. And that's very true. A lot of different things. You know, people don't care if you're not a follower of Christ. People in publics don't care. You know what? I don't think that Brian took communion last week. I'm not sure he's a Christian. I didn't see his prayer life this morning. I didn't see him read his Bible. I'm not sure if he's a Christian. What's just about the number one answer? Man, that person's not very loving. So people, so the world, there's something ingrained because, well, God created each of us. Some of us, we would come to know Christ. Other of us, we would not come to know Christ. But we're all created with this ability, at least, to know Jesus. And so he puts in people, man, there's something special. There's something different about them. And true enough, some people, they just have naturally caring, loving dispositions. They couldn't be further from the Savior. But often, man, that's a very unchristian-like thing to do. And they're not talking about, well, he fell short on one of these commandments. Well, yeah, he's talking about love. It's a very unchristian-like way to take communion. It's a very unchristian-like way to pray. Generally, they're talking about love. And we can have that opinions of one of those observations. Last week we talked a lot of things. Some of it was judging, how we discern, how we evaluate. We don't want to go to the condemnation. Jesus warns us about the condemnation side of things and tells you to take the plank out of your own eye. But in continuing with this, we are called to evaluate. We're called to evaluate, you know, the trees. Is it good or bad? We're called to evaluate those around us are called to evaluate one another. We'd be in a world of hurt if we didn't evaluate things. And driving down the road, if you didn't evaluate the drivers around you, you could easily get into an accident. Somebody can still pull out in front of you, can't they? It happens. And you do your best, you do whatever, but your mind is constantly evaluating and analyzing things. We're created to do that. We're called to do that. It'd be foolish not to. So Jesus is going to unpack today lost versus the saved. We're going to look a little bit at the sermon, digging a little bit deeper into there. So let me pray for our time. Lord, we do want to be wise, discerning people. Help us to have your discernment. Help us to be first discerning of ourselves so we can be healthy fruit, not tangled with all the vines and the weeds of life, but we can be able to bear the wonderful fruit that you've called us to bear, the wonderful fruit that you've created us to bear, Lord. Give us this power, this ability. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus starts out here. He says, enter by the narrow gate. Telling them, for the gate is wide and easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and very few find it. So Jesus is telling those who are around them here in Matthew chapter 7 to enter the kingdom of God through this narrow gate, not the wide gate. So what does he say about the wide gate? Well, it's easy. We'll take a look at a wide gate versus a narrow gate over here. It's easy. Wide gates are easy. They're unrestrictive. It doesn't take much effort or perhaps any effort at all, depending on how wide it is. And so looking spiritually at this, he says, enter through the easy gate, not the wide gate. The wide gate, all one has to do to enter through the wide gate of life, the wide gate of the afterlife, is to do simply what is natural to them. By natural, I mean the fallen, sinful nature. That's the path of least resistance for us. It's the easiest thing to do. Do according to your flesh. Just keep yourself as number one in your life, and your concerns feed into your self-righteousness, and just don't stop. Keep just only worrying about yourself. Just keep on going in your normal path. Don't make any deviations. Just keep on worrying about you. Or is there this expression, hey, just you do you. Just keep on worrying about yourself. If you have the angry, bitter heart, well, retaliate, hate, and hold on to grudges because it justifies the wrongs you've received in your life. Just keep on doing that. Okay, keep on entering through that wide gate. So that can be believer, that can be non-believer. As believers, okay, through faith in Jesus Christ, we don't want to mix this up. Through faith in Jesus Christ, well, actually, it's a narrow gate. We have salvation. So you know what? You all are a bunch of narrow-minded people. That's absolutely true. So when the world calls us narrow-minded, that's very true. We're narrow. There's exclusivity into the kingdom of God. It's only through Jesus Christ. And so we don't need to argue about it. We don't need to justify ourselves. Yeah, you know, there is exclusivity. Use a different word. But yeah, it's a very narrow way. Everything else doesn't lead. But in our lives, as followers of Jesus Christ, I think Jesus here is specifically talking about the afterlife, but as we look at our own lives, we choose on a daily basis, an hourly basis. What gate am I going to walk through today, right now? Well, the wide gate. We'll continue down this before we look at the narrow gate. Those lust scenarios in your mind, satisfy that desire for self-gratification. Perform those spiritual duties, not looking to God, but to feed the little God inside of you. We're going to need to build up and protect your wealth so that you can take care of yourself because you have written God out of your life. That's the believer, that's the non-believer. I don't think the believer has written God out of their life, but this is just those wide gate folks. Judge with condemnation all who fall short because it's easy. It fulfills this fleshly part of us. We see in the verse, he says, the gate is wide and it's easy, it leads to destruction. Well, yeah, of course it does. Of course myself, my sinful ways, of course that leads to destruction. That doesn't lead anywhere good. Temporarily it feels good, but of course doing what I want, that leads to destruction. And those who don't know Jesus Christ, they're already on this trajectory. They're already going well towards that wide gate. They need this deviation towards the narrow, the spiritually narrow. Not because your deeds are good enough to please God, but in your heart, there's no place for God in your life. That's why you're in the wide gate. It's all about you. There's no faith or trust in him, no desire for his desires. You just keep going the old machine of yourself and whatever makes you feel best in the situation. And what's really interesting, so the wide gate is the easy gate. That's what the scripture says. But it's an interesting little paradox here. While seeking to please yourself has the least resistance in your soul, your natural self requires no change. It's actually to achieve and truly make yourself happy. So you're doing all this to make yourself happy, to gratify yourself. It's the easiest thing to do in the moment. But it's the hardest way. It's, I'll say, the impossible way to achieve genuine happiness, to achieve joy. There's no contentment in just seeking your next fix, whatever that is. Drugs, alcohol, whatever perversion of the mind or soul. Because you have to keep on keeping yourself number one in your life. And since that's wrong, since we know that we're not number one, even those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ for many years, we would say God is number one, but we still want to place ourselves as number one. We like to put ourselves there. And it's hard. We're having to constantly battle with God for who's number one in our life. Humans are prideful beasts. My pride gets me in trouble a lot. I'm not sure about you all. Of course, many will enter this wide gate. To change requires responding to God and admitting to yourself that what I'm doing is not working for me. What I built my life wrong is wrong and it's not working for me. We don't like to do this. On the other hand, he says, the gate leaving tonight. Gate leading to life is narrow. That other stuff, it's not really living anyways. It's self-destruction. It's self-delusion. This is a hard way. It's hard to admit yourself that what I'm doing is not working for me, is it not? That's one of the toughest things to do, man. I mean, some of us, we beat ourselves up, but I'm not sure if we actually truly deep down in our soul believe, you know what? I'm kind of scum right now. It's hard that there. It's hard humbling yourself. It's hard dying to your own desires. That's what being a follower of Jesus Christ, it means that, you know, I'm not going to do this wide gate stuff. I'm not going to do whatever feeds me. I'm going to die to myself. Man, that's hard. Which is why we have to pray that often. Romans 12:1, present yourself as a living sacrifice to Jesus. We're holy and acceptable because in Jesus' eyes, we are holy and acceptable by his blood. But it takes intentionality. That doesn't change, but it takes intentionality to present yourself as a living sacrifice. There's that narrow gate. That daily narrow gate. It's hard. Nobody wants to be a slave. Does anybody really desire to be a slave, to not be in control of anything? No, you're good Americans. We're sons and daughters of the Protestant Reformation. We've rebelled against the old Catholic way. We're not going to go into, of course, there was lots of terrible, awful, doctrinally bad stuff there. We have rebellion in our sin nature. We have, it's about us. Who wants to be a slave? But as we realize whom we yield everything to is worthy, it makes it easier. Oh yeah, maybe there may be something to God's omnipotence. Maybe there might be something to God's omniscience. Maybe he does know a little bit more than me. Maybe God is everywhere in every way. Maybe he does know the best things for me. It's not pleasant. This isn't what I want to do. I think few find it because we're deceived. The consequences, they don't appear dire because they don't immediately present themselves. They come down the road. That flesh, it's immediate satisfaction. You eat that entire bag of potato chips, it's immediate satisfaction. And then more or less immediate regret. perhaps 10 or 15 minutes down the road. Shouldn't have done that. But God's so gracious, he allows us to choose the wrong path, and then down the road we'll feel those consequences. We'll hear his still small voice. We'll hear the Holy Spirit telling us not to. Sometimes we don't even see the benefits. We do the right thing. Anybody been there? I've done the right thing, and Lord, this is very frustrating for me. I don't know, read the first 10 chapters or so of the Psalms. David crying out to the Lord, everybody's pursuing me, everybody's hating me, everybody's up against me. And then he'll close with something along the lines of, you are good, you are God, you are wonderful, you are whatever. And David was trying to do the right thing, but unfortunately this world is broken, and so it seemed, you know what, I'm just going to kill Saul. It'll just be easier this way. Obviously David doesn't do that, but in our own minds, in our own hearts, it's what we do. We pick that wide gate. So aside from salvation, the wide gate is super easy. Just live according to your flesh. We get little or no pushback from the world. But acceptance, things go well. The narrow gate means giving up my desires, willing up giving up my rights for God. So that leads to a good question which Jesus will answer here for us. How do we know if those whom we're following are wide gate people or narrow gate people? How can we tell? And as your failure, except for Trey because he cheated on their little fruit test. Actually, I guess it's not cheating if I give you the answers, is it, Trey? You're being a wise student. You're just using your resources. Yeah. It's like yelling at a kid for using, if you give him a calculator and getting all the math questions right on the test. Oh, you're really good at multiplication. Yeah, I hit this little X button on the calculator. You're just using your resources. I wouldn't have thought to do that, so you're a smart man. So how do we know if we're following the right people? Are they wide gate people, narrow gate? Jesus says, beware of the false prophets. And so false prophet, it's not necessarily that they're saying, you know, the world's going to come to an end in 5 days, but a prophet is somebody who speaks on behalf of God or speaking from God, trying to communicate things from God. And so these Pharisees, these Sadducees, they were adding rules on top of rules on top of rules. In their position, they were speaking on behalf of God, but they were falsely doing so. So he says, beware of these false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So if it's not a good tree, Jesus says its destination, its destiny is just to be cut down, to be thrown down. It might look okay, it might look appealing, whatever, but hey, its destiny, this isn't a good thing. It should be cut down and thrown into a fire. We don't have grow pecan trees for the delicious wood that it smokes to make our meat delicious. Although that's kind of why I want to plant a pecan tree. But most of the people like the nuts. Mike, those squirrels loved your nuts in your backyard, didn't they? I mean, that's why we grow these nuts trees, these fruit trees or whatever. It's for the fruit, not for the fire it will create 30, 40, 50 years down the road. So, well, if it's not good, it's going to be thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize these people by their fruits. They're ferocious, stealing, swindling wolves in reality. They may or may not have this intention. The Pharisees, I'm not sure they woke up and, you know, I can't wait to deceive the Jews today, the rest of my people. Most, you know, bad people don't think that they're bad. They're the good guys. You look at any war situation, I'm not sure that Hitler thought he was a bad guy. He was zealous about his beliefs. He was overzealous about his terrible beliefs. He was trying to do the right thing in his corrupted conscious. If you need any more information about conscience, go talk to Ken Crow. Had a wonderful discussion in Sunday school this morning about conscience. But he says, you'll recognize them. Is this good or bad? And a lot of people, they can be nice, they can be outwardly appealing, there can be, you know, there can seem like there's truth nuggets, there can be wisdom there, but What are they actually producing? Is this somebody I want to follow? You know, he says grapes aren't from thorn bushes, figs from thistles. You're not going to hurt yourself trying to get these particular fruits. It's interesting, as I was Googling to, I don't think I have a picture. What's my next picture? Okay. So as I was looking for different pictures of fruits, the grapes, what's neat about the grape is it comes off the vine and they're all just bundled there right next together. It makes it very simple to harvest, to cut it off and to grab it. You're not going in and getting hurt. The fruit is there, it's abundant, it's there, easy for the picking. So the healthy tree, the bad tree, it's not all corrupt. You can tell, hey, this isn't going to produce good stuff. It's a thorn bush, there's all these thistles. Because a healthy tree can't bear bad fruit. It's got healthiness inside of it. Likewise, a tree that, the diseased tree, it's not going to bear good fruit. It's just not how it works. So what does it look like for us? You'll be able to tell the true prophets from the false prophets. So what does it look like? What are the fruit of the flesh? How can I tell what are some bad fruit? It says the works of the flesh are evident. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 5, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. And so this could be, Paul's talking to believers. This isn't, hey, watch out for those guys in Galatia that look like this that are not believers, but he's talking within the church. We can allow our flesh to take control, and this is what happens. It can happen in the church. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. We know these. We know these. Hey, this isn't stuff coming from the Holy Spirit. This isn't stuff coming from Jesus. So as we evaluate, remember, we're not called to judge, to condemn, but we all called to be discerning. Jesus says discern. Is the Holy Spirit leading, or has the believer instead been chosen to walk by the flesh? His characteristics make it clear to which it is. And then finally, are these leaders truly believers or followers of God? He says you can tell by, it's all about the relationship. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is talking when on that judgment day when we've died and moved on to eternal life or eternal punishment from the Lord, Lord. He says, well, not everybody calls me Lord, Lord. Just because you recognize me and call out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. The one who's done the will of my Father who is in heaven. And so one of the big things, we can't do the will of the Father if we reject the Son. It just doesn't work that way. You can do all sorts of nice things and wonderful things, but if you've rejected Jesus, if you've rejected him as God, well, you're not doing the will of the Father. It says that on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? Didn't we do all this? Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You might have used my name, you might have used my power, but I wasn't the source of your power. I wasn't the source of your everything. I never knew you. There was no relationship. You rejected me. There is no, the chance has gone. There is no opportunity for eternal life. So then looking at these Pharisees, these Sadducees, where would they fall? They might be doing nice religious things, but were they followers of Jesus? Do they have a relationship with him, or are they constantly butting up against him and rejecting him? So as we close today, we want to be discerning. We want to be discerning people. We want to test. John writes in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, or first verse here we have on the screen, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Jesus said to evaluate here. John says, we got to test those spirits. What's going on here? Is this something from God? Verse 2, by this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So he's talking spiritual warfare here, talking to the spirits, but we can also discern as we look to other religious groups. Well, when the Mormons reject Jesus as being God, that's false prophecy. When the Jehovah's Witnesses reject Jesus as God, that's false prophecy. When the Muslims reject Jesus as God, false prophecy. We can discount wonderful people, loving people, nice people, people that are created in the image of God have rejected him. So we want to be careful. Is it from God? So we want to look at ourselves in that. We want to be discerning of ourselves. Last week Jesus says, take the log out of your own eye. So first we want to look at ourselves, salvation. Do I believe that Jesus is God? Have I trusted him as my Savior? Have I trusted him? He's died for all my sins. Have I ever done that? Evaluate myself. I've done that. What about my lifestyle? Which gate am I walking through? Am I walking through the narrow gate? Am I dying to self? Am I living for Christ? Or am I walking through the wide gate? That path of least resistance. The easy gate. The one that brings me maximum pleasure because it's all about me. It's a tough question to ask yourself. Which is good to have other people around you who can lovingly share those things with you. What about others? Looking non-believers, is this truth coming from God or is this just another false prophet? Just because it logically sounds good and appealing doesn't make it truth from God. There's a lot of stuff that sounds good, that makes sense, but it's not necessarily from God. One thing that has crept into the church, I'm not saying it's this church, but the church. So there's the logic, since God is good, he can't possibly punish someone forever in hell for their sins and unbelief because of this life. Well, a good guy, you can't possibly forever and ever and ever, you're in hell and you're in punishment. Well, truth, we go back to Scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 26, he makes it very clear, these will go away into eternal punishment. That was verse 46. 41, he says the same thing, refers to it as eternal punishment. Eternal means forever. Eternal means it's, I don't like it. I don't like that somebody, because in the 80 years of their human life, they made a really unwise move and didn't accept Jesus as their Savior. They should get a second chance. Unfortunately, Scripture is very clear here on that, so we can't allow the logic to kind of, that makes sense. We want to test those spirits. We want to test those words that are going on. And there's many other things going on here. And we can have, there can be room for disagreements on things as far as personal preferences. Is vegan the healthiest lifestyle, or is it an all-beef diet? What's the best? You can have disagreements. Probably all beef isn't going to be the healthiest for you, but we'll look at the Lord. As we look at ourselves, we're looking at others. So we've looked at ourselves, now we're looking at others. So who is actually following Christ? You can test and discern their fruit. The works of the flesh are evident. We have that rotten lemon up there. We can tell who's walking with the Lord well. We can tell who's not. There's some wiggle room in there. There's some tough things in there. Some of us are better at putting on masks than others. But who's actually following Christ? So with this, I want to close out, and I encourage you to be discerning. Be discerning of yourselves. It's fun and easy to be discerning of others. We like that, but we want to take a look at ourselves. How healthy is my fruit? How healthy is my tree? Let's pray. Lord, the hardest thing in life is submitting completely to you. Everything that we do, every thought we have, every action we take, every motivation we have, our sinful hearts get in the way. But Lord, that's your desire for us, because it's such a better, more fruitful life. It's a joyful experience, not trying to keep ourselves on top of this life, on top of our little world. Lord, I pray that you would soften our hearts as we're here, that this week you would do wonderful and wonderful, marvelous, supernatural things and expose in our hearts the areas where we're falling short, and give us the courage to set those things aside, to come to you in humility. I pray that you would use each of us mightily and work deeply within our hearts and souls. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And as we get ready for this, I forgot to mention elders and trustees. We're going to have a brief meeting